Hello, and welcome to episode 221 of Checkpoint Chat. My name is Alessandro Barbosa, and I'm joined by Matthew Figuera.
Yo, hello.
You looked unprepared there.
You don't podcast for a week and you forget how to produce this thing. My goodness.
Matthew was like, how do I reply? How do I intro myself?
No, I was making sure everything was recording. I'm like, okay, the Audacity's going. The OBS is recording the video. I've got the...
It's literally 1 week off, I've forgotten how this all works.
I've got like this beautiful layout on my desktop. I've got OBS on the one... Well, the second screen here is where the magic happens. When we do news, that's where I run everything, okay? But on my primary screen, which viewers will never see, it's Audacity in the top left. I've got a little stopwatch next to it. I've got OBS slotted in on the right. And then the bottom left, I've got my own personal browser in case I need to pull up news. There's a lot going on. But before we started this morning, I was like, how do I lay it out again? I've got such a nice premium layout. It's like, oh yeah, that goes there. This goes there. Yes, it took me a while.
There is a very niche market specifically for us and maybe other people in production for like an app that does the whole Windows auto size and rearrange thing, but saves like a configuration.
Oh, that's like cool.
If you've got like a bunch of programs open and you go apply configurations, it's like, cool. The last time you had all these open, you had it configured like this. Boom. Just like wow. Do that. I want that in my life. Someone make that happen.
There was a time before I figured out this layout, and you know, that was the Wild West of us recording for YouTube, because I just did not have a good workflow. So it took me a while to nail this layout down. Eventually, I was like, oh man, this works.
When we moved over to remote because, well, the world enforced it on us, like it took a while for us to like figure out even just like recording wise how to get the flow right, how the editing worked, how everything else worked. I feel like it's so, at least from an editing perspective, it's so waxed now. Like I get edits done so quickly.
Yeah. And like even my side, it's like the second we done pour everything into video editing software and I cut and chop and change, add end boards, the intro, export to YouTube, whip it up. It's you know, we like a well-oiled machine now.
It's detrimental, though, the routine, though, because I've been telling myself I'm going to move away from Adobe Audition for about a year now. And every time I try, I'm just like, I really don't want to learn a whole new, like, door, like, all over again and, like, figure out all my presets and this and that. I just let that fucking $25 a month come off my account and Adobe Audition. And I let Audition run like complete ass, like, every single time I open it. But hey, it does what I need it to. But
yeah,
could someone tell me why it runs like complete ass? It is so laggy. It is so...
you've obviously since formatted and... It's
just this program. It's this program that you try and drag the window and it's like, it's just dying. No, it's complete shit. But when you want to edit stuff, it's got them tools, it's got them chains.
Then it's premium.
It's primo and it just does the thing way better than anything like Audacity ever did. Bummer. Real bummer.
I hate to see it.
Yeah.
But Chad, we are back. Apologies for the delay. Yeah. But the fact that this episode...
I didn't apologize. I was on holiday. I was having a great time.
No, the fact that this episode is even happening is a miracle given that we've been living in and out of state checks. And it was funny because our schedules often clash horrendously. Like we've cancelled episodes in the past because we're like, it's just not going to work. And
they often alternate. When
it's more effort than it's worth of like, oh, we can record it like 4 p.m. after, I'm like, nah, like it's just no thank you. But it just happened.
Then you're not in the mood, then the show's bad. It's like,
yeah, but it's also then it just like throws the whole day out. I'm like, oh my god.
Oh yeah, it fucks your day completely. Yeah.
But
yeah, I think I don't know if I can like talk to Lenska, but I'm sure she's got a routine now knowing that you are recording a podcast on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And Shani does as well. So when that changes, it like throws their routine out as well. Yeah.
It's funny because this morning was like, okay, we can only record at 10 in the morning. It's like not ideal, but it's okay. It's still in the morning. But then just last night to check my schedule, I'm like, oh, we miraculously dropping to stage 3 somehow.
Yeah.
So here we are at a normal time.
It's great.
Love to see it.
Love to see it.
We're back. Back for some shenanigans.
We're back. It was, It was good. I was in Cape Town last week.
Nice. Did Land of running, the Flat Mountain.
Did some wedding attending.
Did you walk up Table Mountain and get a level out and put it down and go, yep, it's flat?
No. You know, I've never actually climbed Table Mountain. What? It's strange. I can't believe this. Done the whole cable car thing, never done the hike up there, which is apparently a bit hectic.
How can you believe it's flat if you've never seen it for yourself?
I mean, to my eyes, it looks very flat. I've never put a spirit level there. Can't tell you for sure. But pretty flat mountain. It's great.
Yeah, it is pretty flat.
That place is expensive. It's always been expensive, but this time seemed even more so. It feels more and more touristy every time I go there in terms of like pricing of anything.
It's wild because I do feel for Capetonians who are just living.
You just want to exist there.
You just want to exist, you know, in their beautiful city, and then just everything's expensive unless you know where to go. Like there are obviously still places where you can get meals at reasonable prices, but it is wild how I think, like, sorry to talk about good old Franco's down there. I'm like, man, 120 rand for a pizza? Like that's...
Oh, you'll never get that in Cape Town.
Very well priced. Like, I think it's very fair. Go to Cape Town, man. You're looking at like 150, 160 minimum.
Easy. Yeah. Easy. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the stuff's good there. But like when we went out one day to like a Mexican place and they had cocktails, and there wasn't a single cocktail below $100. And I like expressed like... Not disgust, because that's a weird word to use, but like I just like surprised to my friends who live there. And I was like, is that normal? They're like, yeah. Like cocktails are below 100 is just not a thing. I'm like, okay.
You didn't express disgust. You expressed distaste. Like, I can't believe this.
It's just so strange to me. Like you can go to Parkhurst here, go to a nice bar, like Speakeasy, and get an old fashioned for like 65 rand. And it's not like a shitty bar where it's like a very trendy, nice bar, and it's like half the price. So I don't know. Cape Town, you can come keep. To. Also, that martini fucking sucked that I ordered. It was so shit.
Take you and Shani to. Have you been to Blind Tiger? Yeah, in Park.
I haven't, but I know of it. Yeah.
They also do cocktails. I don't think they cost more than 100 rand. Really nice place, though.
I think a friend of mine told me they do like pure granadilla shots. They've got like. They'll give you like a vodka, but then they've got actual granadillas outside. Oh, was it you? That told me that?
It's probably me and Lenska because
because there's someone at work who goes to Blind Tiger or has been a few times and has told me some stuff about that. And I couldn't remember if it was them or you.
It's real good.
Yeah, that sounds like a good time. And that's like right, that's on the same strip, isn't it?
On the same strip. Yeah. The best strip, man. I'm going to go to Croft for breakfast, Franco's for lunch, and Blind Tiger for supper.
My goodness. Go to your groceries at the spa there, the Portuguese grocer. Yeah, it's a great time there.
It's fantastic.
You know what else is a great time?
Oh, do tell.
Video games. Video games. Video just because we were away doesn't mean we weren't playing them video games.
Oh my God, we never stopped.
Never stopped.
Oh, shit. I didn't make a note about the one thing you're going to talk about. Let me just make a note.
Oh my God.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's get into it because there's a lot to catch up on. So what are you talking about first?
So I took my Switch with me to Cape Town.
Nice.
I played a little bit of Fire Emblem Three Houses on the plane purely because I forgot that my Switch wasn't the primary console, so I couldn't play anything else because that was the only cards I had with me.
That's a rookie mistake I've learned because I game share with my brother. So before every flight, I'm like, just get online, verify, then it's cool.
I was so bleak. But then when we did land and I finally got connectivity, I finally got around to starting Metroid Prime Remaster, which I've been super keen to play ever since I devoured Metroid Dread last year, even though that's quite late, but yeah. And so for the unfamiliar, Metroid Prime is kind of like it's taken the 2D formula of Metroid games and made it, you know, into an explorable 3D world. You're playing from a first person perspective as Samus Aran, but I think a lot of the sort of core gameplay elements and ideas are very similar. The idea is you visit a biome, you progress as far as you can, you brush up against like a door or a hindrance that you cannot get past, you explore some more, you find an upgrade, now you can get past that thing, now you're in a different biome, rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat. And it's very like...
Are you telling me Metroid Prime is a Metroidvania game? Get out.
Never. In a million years would I insinuate that. One of the namesakes of the genre is that. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It's good. I quite like it. I think this one, when I compare it to like Metroid Dread, this one's way more like exploration and puzzle focused.
Mm.
The combat almost seems like secondary because even though you're playing now with two like decent thumbsticks, you've got a button that lets you lock onto enemies almost immediately, and then shooting them is pretty simple.
Okay.
So even though you're racing through rooms, you're doing a lot of backtracking, so you're fighting a lot of the same enemies, you're just like kind of blasting past them, like they are not the focus until you get to like bosses, where then combat is a focus, like very much so. The bosses are a good mix of puzzle elements and combat, where it's like you use combat to like stun an enemy, and then you've got to figure out what abilities to use to actually like get a damage hit in, for example. Yeah. So yeah, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of one of the big things in Metroid Prime is scanning. So you can put your visor in like a scanning mode, and then there's so many things around the world that you can scan to give you like context for the planet that you're on. But also just like puzzle solutions. So sometimes a gate will be locked and you'll need to activate like four symbols around the area, and you can only activate them by scanning them. So you've got to find them and then scan them. Nice. And every now and then I forget that that's like a core mechanic, and I'm just like, what the fuck am I meant to do? And then I just whip out the scan and I'm like, oh, right. I can do so many other things now that I've got all of this additional context. So yeah, it's interesting from that perspective. To me, it's a very different game from Dread in terms of like the pace and the focus. Dread is like unrelentingly go forward, attack things, just keep moving. You know, Metroid Prime feels a lot more like explore the spaces very, very keenly because it's very easy to miss things. And I'm now in a spot where I'm like in a, stop me if you heard this before, a lava area in a Metroid game. I've got the Varia suits, I'm not dying. Nice. But I'm like, I'm getting to two elevators which take me back to the surface, but I don't know where to go. There is very clearly an upgrade I need to get around certain parts, but I don't know where it is.
You finish the game. Get on your ship and get out of Mission
Accomplished. Just leave. Just fuck these space pirates and just go.
It is interesting that you point out that Metroid Prime is more about exploration. Because like, while I love Metroid Dread and I think it's like a very exquisitely designed game, it's almost like, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but it's almost over-designed to the point where you know it's a Metroidvania, but they conveniently place you exactly where you need to be all the time, where it is literally, I'm here now, I can just carry on going forward.
Metroid Dread's actually a pain when you're not following the main path.
Yeah, like, it's like, no, where are you going?
If you're not blazing through it and you're like, oh, I want to check that out, they're like, fine, do that. Good luck fucking getting back here.
Yeah.
Or figuring out that you need to be back exactly here. Like, I mean, that's why I struggled with Dread for such a long time, because I was exploring so much and then like I had zero idea where I was meant to be after that. But then once you get in the groove of the main thing, it's just like, it feels like a game of pinball almost. You're just going, you know, you're just kind of going in the right direction. So yeah, Prime doesn't feel like that. I mean, for the first 2 or 3 hours, I was like, what the fuck is going on here? Because I was in like a very small starting area and could not figure out what to do. And it turns out it was just like, oh, I didn't realize I could jump to this thing. And that opened up a whole other section of the map.
Yeah.
And then I got like the morph ball and everything. I was like, oh, okay. You know, this now you're sense. In the sort of groove again. So they do the very early 2000s things of video games where the first half an hour of the game, you are souped up. Samus Aran
with take it away.
All of her upgrades and all of her abilities, and then she gets hit by something and you just see them literally dissolve away from her suit, and she's got the like skinny suit without the massive shoulder pads and
Kratos like, playing this game just says hard relate, Samus, I get you. I've been it there was like so, 4 times.
I was so bleak as well, because literally before that moment they introduced you to a grappling hook mechanic where you can swing across things. I was like, oh, sick. I love this. This feels great. Gone. And I haven't got it back.
It's interesting. So this game came out when? Like early 2000s?
Yeah, GameCube. It's
probably early 2000s.
Prime.
It is a scientific fact.
Or something.
It is a scientific fact that a game is instantly better if it has a grapple hook.
It's true.
So it's true. This game was doing it in the early 2000s. You know how long it took Halo to get a grapple hook in their game?
Twenty years
later. they go, oh yeah, let's give Master Chief a grapple hook. Oh, that'll make things better.
So this original release was November 18, 2002. This is like,
oh my God,
within spitting distance of like Majora's Mask was 2001. Yeah. Like, that's insane. I cannot imagine the sort of like the sort of wonder when this released originally, because it is, you know, this is a they call it a remaster. It is more of a remake visually. Like, it is a massive jump up visually in terms of the old game, but the old game looks good. It's got great art direction. Mm. This one looks fantastic on Switch, I think. Yeah. I think it looks really, really
nice.
I'll
get to it. I'm very keen to play it.
Yeah, I think you would thoroughly enjoy it. And it's like $700 on Switch. It's not a full price 1,400 rand game. but it's made me very excited for the eventual releases of 2 and 3, which, according to rumors, aren't as substantial like visual remakes. I don't know. They could be. Who the fuck knows at this point? Yeah. This Metro Prime Remaster was meant to launch like 2 years ago, if you listen to most rumors. So, but like, if Metro Prime 4 is this just in the modern day, yeah, sign me up. I'm all in on that. It's nice. Good. It's really, really good. The save system is utter bullshit. I will give you that.
Really good.
So, it's got save points, just like Metroid Dread. There are far fewer of them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you die,
you go back.
You are back to the right. The last one you saved it. Like, it doesn't matter if you played an hour or two. Whenever you see a save point, save. Like, do not. I died to a boss so far in, and I lost like an hour's worth of progress because I was like, oh, fuck. I didn't realize. Because that was the first time I died. Because, like, I mean, again, the enemies aren't that bad.
2023, the boss, you expect games to have some kind of autosave.
I was like, oh, they'll pop me at, you know, maybe at the start of this biome or whatever. No.
That's
I even had to go back and reclaim an upgrade that I didn't have because I needed. I was just so annoyed.
Because you've done it before. You're out there speedrunning.
I literally did. I was like, fuck this. I know exactly where to go. I don't care about these enemies. Go, go, go. And then I died to that boss again. And I was just like, I hate everything. Like, God damn.
I hate everything and everyone.
Yeah. The bosses are cool. The few that I've fought are really smart and interesting. They make you use all of your abilities really like in interesting ways. So, yeah.
Nice.
It's good. Like being that
I've got on my wish list at all. It'll be purchased at a time when I've got nothing else to play on Switch, but I'm very keen to play it.
I actually did.
I had the trilogy on the Wii a lifetime ago, and I played a bit of the first one, but I think I had so much stuff on the Wii that I was spoiled for choice, and I just never finished it. We carried on playing it.
I've never played any of the Prime games, but I remember when I got my original DS, it had a demo of a Metroid game. I think it was Metroid Prime Hunters.
That 3D one, yeah.
Yeah, well, no. So this was the original DS, so it wasn't the 3D. Yeah, it was Metroid Prime Hunters. It was a demo on the original DS, and that control scheme was fucking weird.
Wasn't it a first-person shooter as well?
It was, yeah.
It was. I played that as well.
But it was like, the DS was like super, like at that time, I don't think at least I hadn't figured out that the idea was to hold it with one hand with like your left hand and then stylus in the right. Mm. So I was holding it like a console and then every now and then touching the touchpad because the touchpad was how you aimed. Like, and I was like, this game is terrible to play. Like, yeah.
No way. Is that it's weird because that control scheme actually made a lot of sense. It worked.
It did. Yeah. When you figure it out, it makes tons of sense. But that was like the only first person Metroid I remember playing. Wow, looking at screenshots now, this thing was pixelated as fuck.
I remember playing that with my brother though. We played multiplayer. It's a good
time. It had multiplayer?
Yeah, like
competitive multiplayer?
Deathmatch, yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
It was a good time.
Okay. I'd be keen to give it a go again now. Yeah.
Now that you've grown up.
Yeah, I've grown up. I know how to hold the DS now.
Hold the DS now. Cool. Metroid Prime.
Metroid Prime, yeah. What have you been up to?
Shall we briefly touch on Horizon Burning Shores quickly, seeing as we both have received code. We actually got code
Thursday.
Like the day before release. So we haven't had the chance to really sink our teeth into it.
I think I played maybe an hour, if that. Game is pretty. How pretty this fucking game looked.
Can confirm that it's Horizon. It looks real good. And I also can confirm that I have forgotten how to play this game.
Jesus.
We played this a year ago, right? It's not that long ago. But the game kicks you off. You get a quest. You head off to the Burning Shores and they drop you in a fight against these robot hippos. And you best believe I was hiding in the brush going, I don't know what arrows to use.
Your inventory and you've got like 10,000.
Oh my God.
Because Burning Shores, you can only engage after you've beaten the game. Yes. So you're souped up Aloy, like, by the time you start this thing.
So I was very, very taken aback by, I don't know what weapons to use. And very soon after, even just exploring the world, I reached a point where there was a box on a ledge. And I was like, how the hell do I get up there? And then I remembered, I was like, no, I should be able to pull it off. I remember something from the base game, little grapple thing. And I could not for the life of me remember how to equip it. I had to watch a YouTube video.
You have to like jump and press something? Something
so yeah, like if you're scaling a wall, you push X and X to scale up the wall. Okay, it launches you. But I'm talking about there was a box on a ledge that I had to pull down. And you've got a pool caster. I started at lunchtime yesterday, and after lunch, I've teamed my one colleague I know is also playing it. And I was like, man, I forgot how to play this game. I had to YouTube how to do this. He replied, me too. So it seems like a common problem. If you're coming back to Burning Shores, you might have to brush up on your Aloy skills. I haven't played too much. I can just confirm that it takes place in a smaller hub. You know, it's not as big as a base game, obviously. Los Angeles. It is gorgeous. I forgot how
stunning game.
Beautiful this game is. If you're watching the video feed, it is just so lush and green.
I'm judging your HUD configuration. Yeah, you have like... Oh, well, I have everything on. Yeah, it's so much on. And I was
I think I've got it on dynamic. So it pops up when adaptive. Yeah, it pops up when I need it. One new thing in this game, which, I mean, again, if you're watching the video feed, it's pretty obvious. You get a skiff that you can use to navigate the waters, because I think most of this DLC is based, you know, it's Los Angeles, but a lot of it is underwater for some reason. It's like a small island you got to sail back and forth between. So if you craving some Assassin's Creed Black Flag or Valhalla, but with an Aloy aesthetic, this is probably the game for you. It's got some sailing, no shanties that I've heard thus far, but it is pretty cool.
You hate to see it.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, do you know how long this DLC is meant to be?
I don't know. I've only seen like tweets of reviews, you know what I mean? And obviously they don't indicate this, so I don't know. I would wager if it's anything like the DLC for Zero Dawn, that was like six or eight hours. And I remember that being quite fun because it actually challenged you quite a bit. What are they called? The bears?
I think that DLC, what made it immediately stand out for me was the fact that if you got, so Horizon Zero Dawn had an armor set that is like super armor. Basically, I think it gave you...
But you
had a shield that, you know, if you got hits, you didn't take damage, but it regenerated. Yeah. But the moment you enter the DLC, there were towers throughout that essentially disabled that armor. I was like, isn't fair.
But they also gave it to you. When you started the DLC, it's like, you've got this armor now. It's like, you don't need to find it. But then they just disable it. And then it's like...
For someone like me who played the base game and the DLC back to back, I worked hard to get that armor.
Same.
And then It's like, no, fam, you can't use this armor. So I don't know.
And then you have that armor at the beginning of Forbidden West, and Aloy's like, yeah, it's broken. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Come on. But what I'm getting at is that this game doesn't have, not that I've seen, like a distinct thing that immediately changes gameplay. I haven't encountered anything yet. But I do know that every enemy I'm encountering is an Apex version, so they hit hard.
Cool. Yeah. This return to Horizon has also been a nice excuse to check out some of the quality of life things that they've added. I know in the patch for this game, which means it's not actually available on PS4. So yeah, this DLC is only PS5, by the way. Which is interesting. Apparently it's because of some visual elements that you see throughout the game, like some clouds and particle effects that they just feel like they couldn't tone down for the PS4. I haven't seen, the clouds look fucking great.
Those are some real good clouds.
Yeah, they're good clouds. Don't know if it's worth, like, yeah, anyway. What was I saying? Oh yeah, quality of life changes. One of the few settings that I like that's been added is the ability to toggle on auto pickup for items, which is,
I need to put that
godsend
on.
Yeah, it's under the accessibility settings, is really good. You can even do a thing where you can keep it off auto but disable the animation for pickup, so Aloy doesn't literally crouch down for every single thing that you pick up.
You just
up,
run
so
through
cool.
loot. Oh my god, that'll make
it's
the
like
game 50%
Ghost
shorter.
Of Tsushima does that. Yeah, you just kind of pick it up like do done.
Amazing.
There's now like a balanced visual mode for those with 120 hertz displays, which is nice because can keep it on a high resolution and still get it like running quite smoothly. And it just looks, I think it's, oh, there's a transmog system. Yeah. So really now you good. Can keep the stats of the high level gear and make, listen, I think both sets of high level gear and Forbidden West look like shit. I really do not like either of them. And I actually enjoy some of Aloy's starting like gear a lot more visually. So it's cool that I can change back to that and keep the stats, because that's nice. Because running around with the fucking Thunderjaw helmet on my head looks so dumb. Just so stupid. So,
whatever, I'm wearing the Thunderjaw, and I'm kidding. I don't even know which armor set I'm wearing.
Yeah, you're wearing a nice one. I think it looks like a Kaja one almost, yeah. But like, remember in Forbidden West, the main armor was that Oseram one that you have to do so many quests for, and then it just looks so boring.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow.
Can't
like,
believe I've done this.
Zero Dawn had such an interesting like shield armor. This has just got leather. It's a bit weird.
Nice. Yeah. So we're still in the early days, but we are going to sink our teeth into this DLC.
Look at these cutscenes, man. They look so good.
Yeah, the game. God damn. I forgot how good this game looks. I think just to highlight the facial animations and the performances are unreal. This is like uncanny valley stuff. You look at you like, oh man.
It's really probably the best looking game on PS5. Like, I don't think from a gameplay perspective it's as interesting as it looks, but I boot up this game all the time just to show people, be like, look at this. Yeah. Look at this. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's a good time. Yeah, that's where we'll revisit the Burning Shores on
yeah,
this podcast.
Probably next week we'll have a lot more to future, say yeah. about that. Yeah. That along with Advance Wars, which we got code for yesterday. So obviously just have
nothing yet. Yeah.
Zero time to have tried that by now. But keen to give that a go.
Yeah.
What else is on your docket? I know there's something else.
It's Minecraft Legends.
Oh, ho ho,
ho ho, ho ho. Are you a villager from Minecraft?
Is that how they sound?
Ho ho. You don't know the villager from Minecraft. Oh my god, I need to find you a
barely
a sound
play Minecraft.
My goodness, I'm just.
Is there someone in Minecraft that says "job's done"?
No, fortunately not.
Damn it!
I'm trying to get to
when Microsoft acquire Blizzard, there will be.
It's a crossover. You never knew you needed.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, sorry about that. So I have been playing Minecraft Legends, which if you did not know, it's not a spin-off, but it is a game set in the greater Minecraft universe. It's interesting because some of you might have played Minecraft Dungeons, which is a similar idea.
I enjoyed
idea.
Minecraft Dungeons.
Yeah, it so you would know it's a similar idea of like it leverages the Minecraft world, but it repackages it into a different game in a different genre. So Minecraft,
like a different genre, yeah.
Minecraft Dungeons was, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's kind of like Diablo-esque, like an action,
very much an action RPG. Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah. Minecraft Legends, so when this game was revealed, I thought it was a real-time strategy title, and it is, I guess, but it doesn't function quite like a real-time strategy the way I envisioned it. So in my head, real-time strategy, it's a game like a StarCraft or Warcraft or Age of Empires, where you know you've got a base, you get resources, you build buildings, you train units, you control those units, you know, to go do stuff. This is that, but it's definitely more action focused. So you don't have a main base explicitly that you work on, but you can collect resources out in the wild. You can train units on the go, and you're essentially controlling a unit, your hero, and just moving through this big world to stop what the game calls a piglin invasion, you know. You know, the Netherworld, those damn piglins, they've come to the Overworld to just cause chaos. And what's interesting is that...
piglins are pigs or...?
They're pigs, yeah. Okay. So if you're watching the video feed now, you'll see I'm collecting resources. And that's literally me just putting down these things called allays. And they will collect anything that's in the area. So, you know, and that ties straight into Minecraft. I'm collecting wood, I'm collecting stone. Mm. At a later stage, you get upgrades to collect coal, diamonds, redstone, etc. And you use these resources to sort of kit out village hubs that you'll get throughout the world. You know, you can build up defenses, build walls around them to stop, to defend them from piglin attacks. And you use these resources to train various units, which all have pros and cons. And again, it's funny how the Minecraft world is just so malleable that... you know, it can work this way. So for example, if you've played Minecraft, you'll get a skeleton archer, which is an absolute nuisance because they can snipe you from the other side the other side of the map. In this game, they're actually very useful. You can use them, they're allies in this game, and their like claim to fame is that they can shoot arrows over walls of enemy bases, and they're ranged. But they're very squishy, you know, as a result. Okay. But then you need to kit out your squad with other units. Like you get these mossy golems that heal, and you get iron golems that are tankier but are only melee focused. And I think that's where the joy of the game really comes in that you, so there are these elements of building and exploring and whatever, but your overall objective is you get thrown into a procedurally generated world, which I never realized. There's no like, there's no fixed.
So just like Minecraft then.
Yeah. Again, there's no like fixed, like there's a campaign, but it doesn't take place in a fixed world. Like your world will look different to mine. It'll have, but it'll still have the same number of enemy bases to take down. To say it'll have the same number of secrets, but just obviously located differently. And the premise is you just need to destroy all the piglin overworld bases. And you can do it at your own leisure. Like you can choose to tackle them in any order you want, any side of the map you want. And in doing so, you get resources which helps you unlock better units. And then you get to play around with unit composition. So I think where I thought it was a real-time strategy in the traditional sense, where that comes in, is that you're moving about the overworld with your character and you can rally these units to you. But it's not like hundreds of units at a time. You'll start with 20, I think it is. And as you get resources, you can build that army bigger and bigger, but you get to dictate how you compose that army. So, for example, I could say, I'm going to attack an enemy base. They've got high walls. Let me start with 10 skeleton archers. I'll have 3 healing units and then 7 iron golems just to help me tear down the walls. And then that's it. You walk into the enemy base. You don't control each unit individually, you just direct them to attack an area or call them back. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
So it's
interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, it's caught me by surprise because it's not like
it's not what I expected at all.
No, not at all. And that's it's not a bad thing. Like I think what's quite interesting is that the real time strategy genre is like quite a it's quite difficult to crack or make palatable for everyone, if that makes sense. Yeah, you know, there's usually like quite a skill ceiling, or it can just be overwhelming if you're not familiar with that sort of genre. But I think being Minecraft, they've done a very good job of making it very accessible. Like, it's not complicated. You know, okay, I can train X amount of units. I can rally them to me. Like, you, if you're watching the video footage now, I've just trained.
You're just like fucking swinging a flag.
Yeah, I'm
you're
swinging
like,
a flag.
Get behind me.
And they just follow you, and I can direct them to attack, or I can just keep them near me and they'll just attack whatever I'm attacking.
That's pretty cool. That's almost like a Pikmin
It reminds me a lot of Pikmin. And there's another example I had in mind, which has left me now. But yeah, Pikmin. I never played that. Pikmin's a fair comparison, because even Pikmin, it's the same thing of like you get red Pikmin and black Pikmin and white, and they all do different things, and you need to
choose and follow them. Yeah. You know what this actually, your description more at the start reminded me of it. This sort of strategy element, not so much, but did you ever play Dungeon Quest Builders?
No.
So it's the structure seems quite similar to this, where you've got an overworld, and Dungeon Quest Builders is more concerned with like a village that you build up. So you are going out and getting resources so that you can build specific things for specific people. Yeah. But they all culminate in like a battle where enemies, once your base is big enough, come to your base to try and like wreck it. And you are playing as a singular character, but the characters you've recruited along the way will help out with you. And the sort of structures that you've built will help out in defending it.
Okay.
So Minecraft Legends looks like it's borrowed some ideas.
Yeah,
from
it sounds similar because even in this game, so what happens is you start off with one like primary village that acts as your home base, but you go through the world and help liberate others that are under attack. And then you can help build them up by, you know, you can build walls around them and build defensive towers, because at nighttime, piglin armies attack at random. But in the same sense of what you mentioned in the game, you're just describing now, is that you also get upgrade buildings. So like in Minecraft Legends, you do want to go out and get resources and use them to build, you know, upgrades. So
yeah.
I said you can only start with spawning 20 allies at a time. You get buildings that up that cap. By the time I was like 8 or so hours in, I could train 50 units, for example. So a slightly bigger army.
So it almost sounds like the, even though it's not like the hardcore elements of it, it's like the APB or APM of like a traditional RTS.
It's
actions per minute.
But it's still like super simplified.
That's what they're doing very well with these sort of spin-outs, is they're not dumbing it down, but they're making it way more accessible.
I was going to say, not that there's no depth to it, but it's very easy to pick up. You know exactly what to do. And I mean, you start off with 3 units, but as you start unlocking them, you start to sort of understand the strategies you can deploy, or, you know, how you should approach an enemy base. Like a good example is a creeper from Minecraft, that they make a return here and they're allies, and you can train creepers to go blow up shit. Just really helpful when you want to take down a, you know, an enemy's stronghold wall or something.
Is there multiplayer?
There is multiplayer. So okay. I haven't dabbled with that yet, but you can play the campaign cooperatively, and there's PvP as well, which I'd be very interested to see, because I just don't know how it would play out playing against another human being. You know,
this looks like a fun game to co-op, because that's how I mostly played Minecraft Dungeons. I pitched it to Shani. I was like, this is a game we can play together, it might be fun, and she kind of like got into it.
Oh, nice.
So I'm wondering if this is something we could try as well.
So I played with keyboard and mouse. I'm not sure how it plays on controller, but I don't think it's complicated.
It doesn't, from the mechanic, like looking at your footage, I would have guessed you were actually playing with controller. It looks
I'm playing keyboard
simple mouse. To do with a controller. I do love the little horse that you get to use.
So I mean, I've enjoyed my time with this game, but there are things that, like, because it's Minecraft.
The piglins.
Because it's Minecraft, it's you know, and I don't use this in a mean way, it's dumbed down, right? But it feels like there's depth, but they could have done more.
It's
so like, as an example, you start off with this character, and if you're watching the footage, like, I'm busy just left clicking with my sword. nothing changes in that front through the whole game. You can't you can't upgrade your gear. You don't get different weapons. You don't get different classes, which might have been just a nice thing to add in. Like, imagine,
like, if you had a bow instead of a sword.
It's interesting because even in the media collateral received, I got to a page where it's like you can choose a hero, right? But it's just aesthetic. But they even pitch like, here's a wizard, here's this. I'm like, but you don't get to cast.
But you're still hitting with a sword. Still,
yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Like, that just feels like a missed opportunity.
And then
last thing I just want to touch on, because it can be frustrating, is that when you take these enemy overworld bases, they're often up on like hillsides and you have to build bridges up to get to them. Remember, when you're controlling your allies, it's literally you can call them, you can send them. You can't control them like individually. You can, there are deeper commands to send them off individually, but you can't move them like... You can't directly move them, and you can't be like, there's no precision is what I'm getting at. So it can be frustrating when you build a ramp up to an enemy base and there's towers and enemies attacking you, and then some of your allies just fall off the bridge you've built and they get stuck.
they fall off. I thought you were going to say they don't like climb the bridge, not fucking fall off the bridge.
But even then, like, sometimes there's a bit of a delay before they follow you. But it can just be frustrating when you're trying to take an enemy tower and then you look behind you and half your ally force is just hugging the cliff side like, help, I fell off. I can't get back up.
It's just like every great military leader in history, Napoleon Bonaparte, looked at his forces, they were just falling off bridges, man. Like,
exactly.
He's just like, fuck these idiots. You know?
these fools. But I mean, that's something, I don't know, I imagine they can work on the pathing, but otherwise, like, I really enjoyed my time with this game. It is on Game Pass. If you got Xbox or PC, you can give it a try for, inverted commas, no cost. It's fun. It is fun.
It looks fun. Yeah. Like I said, I like these Minecraft spin-offs more than I actually like Minecraft. But that's just a me thing. Like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, Minecraft's a bad game. It's just not a game for me.
Trash tier game.
One of the most influential games of all time. Trash tier.
So bad.
But yeah, that looks like fun. I'll give it a go.
Cool.
Give it a go.
Minecraft Legends. Fun times.
Should we bounce over to video game releases, of which there are increasingly many? We are looking at games from... My God, we're at the end of April. We are looking at games from today, April 22nd, all the way up to, I think it's April 30th. No, I can't read. April 28th. Never mind. Oh, but that is basically everything on this list, so, well, that helps.
Nice.
Okay, wow, there's a lot. Yeah, we'll fly through these. Shadows of Doubt. That's like my entire life.
Nice.
Steam Early Access, PC, April 24th. Remote Planets, PC, April 24th. Roots of Pacha, that's a nice word.
Pacha.
April 25th. After Image, sorry.
Sorry, I have to interrupt. Did you see that kind of funny clip with my home star Snowbike Mark reading?
Oh, love.
I don't think you saw it, but it was him and Andy doing the Nintendo Direct.
What a duo. Jesus.
And then there's a little to the left DLC that was announced. Like, a little to the left, cupboards and something, like cupboards and tables, whatever the hell it's called.
Yeah.
But he's like, cupboards.
And then
you see in chat, they're like, did he just say cupboards? And he pauses, he's like, okay, chat, I see you giving me shit, but remember, I'm reading off what Blessing wrote here. And Andy's like, yeah, cupboards. And Mark's like, no, but he's written it cupboards. And then he's like, oh, shit. Cupboards. It was great. It was fun at you.
This reminds me a lot of this exact thing happened on Giant Bomb a while back, where good host Jan, nice guy, he was saying, I don't know what the context was, but he was saying the word clipboard, clipboard. Oh. But the way he says it is clibbered. And everyone on the show was just like, the fuck did you just say?
What's going on?
Clibbered. It's like, what is a clibbered? You know the thing, you're a clipboard. Yeah, clipboard. Oh my God.
Oh my word.
Like, it broke people. It broke people. Yeah. Amazing. Very, very fun. We should get Snowbike Mike and Jan Ochoa on one podcast.
So we've got either after image or off team age.
Off team age. I think I have that stupid magic game that they kept showing off this week on my brain, which has a weirdly similar name. It's like, you know, that first person magic game that got a gameplay trailer?
I can find
it. I don't even know what the fuck it's called.
It's like so Mages of Vivarium or something. I don't know. I'll find it.
Okay, so this is completely sidebarring right now, but this is a small thing. I read an article where they were like, it took like 2 or 3 years to get the magic to feel right in this game. That game looks no different to a person holding a gun. You've just changed the analog of like hands in a far less interest. Like, I don't like Ghostwire Tokyo. I think Ghostwire Tokyo does hand magic a lot than that game. That game is just like your hand is red and you are pointing it and red shit is coming out of it.
Are you talking about Immortals of Avium?
That's the one.
Yeah, the EA game.
Yes.
That game came out of nowhere. They're like, hey, here's a new game. Yeah. It's out in like 2 months.
Yeah, first Unreal Engine 5 game. Like, it looks beautiful, like visually, but I watched the gameplay and I was like, yeah, this looks like a shooter. Give the guy a gun. Like, it's no different.
Whatever.
So you got the red magic and the blue magic, and I bet there's enemies that are weak to either one of those. So.
100%. Okay, so we've got off-team-age.
Off-team-age or off-team-image. Stranded Alien Dawn coming to consoles and PC April 25th. Strayed Lights coming to consoles and PC and Switch April 25th. Cassette Beasts, that's a cool name. PC April 26th. Live Alive is coming to PC and PS5 finally after releasing on Switch.
Already, yeah.
Yeah. It's launching on them other platforms except Xbox. Velocity Noodle.
Oh, wait, you missed one. Dungeon Drafters on PC.
Oh, Dungeon Drafters, PC,
but
April
27th. I was laughing Velocity at Velocity Noodle.
Is this a racer where you play as pasta?
No, this is me eating noodles. You know, they go into my mouth at a velocity. That's coming out to everything except PC, weirdly enough. Unless it is.
Yeah, no, it can't handle the velocity of these noodles. You need to upgrade your PC.
My goodness.
Lego Brick Tales, iOS and Android, April 27th. I don't know why this one isn't bolded, because this is a big release for me. The Last Case of Benedict Fox coming to PC and Xbox. It's coming out on Game Pass as well. Yeah, that game looks fucking rad. I'm really keen to give that a go. Proto Droid Delta, PC, PS4, Xbox, and Switch. Big release for the week then. Star Wars Jedi Survivor comes to PC, PS5, and Xbox Series. It's only it's like new gen.
Just a small game, I mean.
Yeah, tiny game, you know. Tiny sequel to one of the biggest Star Wars games of all time, you know. Very excited for it.
Me too.
I'm very keen. Yeah,
I enjoyed the original.
I love the original. Thought
it was great, but I will acknowledge that it was a jack of all trades, but a master of none. Like, it
definitely
had a bit of this, a bit of that, and it's like, it is a good game. But I'm like,
play Sekiro after playing Fallen Order, and you will very quickly tell that combat is serviceable,
very, very floaty.
Yeah, very so floaty.
Let's see how the sequel.
And I know our good friend Amar brought it up, but I agree with him. The animations still look weird in this game. They look very stilted and slow.
Yeah,
and I read a preview of Jedi Survivor. I think it was Jordan Ramey on GameSpot. He was basically saying that because of these animation, like the animation weirdness and the slowness, and also just the way they're designed, it's very difficult to tell when an attack sequence has stopped. So when you're able again to hit the parry button, because sometimes you hit it and you're actually still a second into an animation. And he says it's like it makes it feel unresponsive.
Hate to see it. I'm still keen regardless. Let's see how this game is.
Still keen. Yeah, I'm still keen. Like that other game, like you said, it's good. It's got issues, but I still dug it. I thought it was still good. Ash of the Gods, The Way, PC, April 27th.
Ash of the Gods, This Is the Way, fixed.
This Is the Way. Welcome to the good. Well, no, sorry. Welcome to Good Land.
Nice.
Okay. PC, April 28th. Minibo, A Walk Through Life, coming to pretty much everything. And then Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak coming to consoles. Game of the year, let's go. PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S. Because it's out on PC and Switch, obviously.
Yeah. If you've played Monster Hunter Rise on Xbox or PlayStation this year and you thought, man, I want more of that, let me tell you. Sunbreak expansion is
Sunbreak fantastic. Is more of that.
It is more of that. It's so good. Yeah.
It's really now good. We're heading into the new month where we've got Redfall literally so the week after. Got Hogwarts Legacy coming to older consoles on May 5th. Really curious to see how that runs on older consoles. Yeah.
When is it coming to Switch? Because it is coming to Switch.
In like July or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know how it's going to run on Switch.
Small game from this indie developer called Nintendo. Legend of Zelda. I hope to make it out the door with this one. Yeah.
Tears of the Kingdom. Hope it's good.
Yeah, never know how public sentiment will go on such a small game. You know? It's a big risk putting it early on the Switch.
Legend of Zelda, I don't want to jinx it, but those games just always do well by default. Even if they're not great, they're just there.
It's true. They always sell fucking bajillions of copies. Oh, we've also got Lego 2K Drive, middle of May.
Vroom, vroom.
Keen for that. So, yeah. There's a lot coming out. A lot. Should we move over to news? Because that's a lot, too.
To news. What? What news?
I'm going to be bold here.
Be bold.
Dota 2 is a new game.
Wow.
Tell me why.
I've heard that this Dota update is Dota 3, basically.
Dota 3.
So for those of you who don't know, Dota 2 dropped a huge update this week.
Just out of nowhere. Were they teasing this at all?
I don't know. I haven't been in the Dota scene for a long time, nor have I followed the news at all. But there's a new update called New Frontiers, which, I don't know, this is probably the biggest update they've done. Like, I remember them doing one, they did one like a year or two ago, and even then it was like, wow, my God, like this has changed the game. But I don't think that compares to this update, because I think right out the gate, this update has changed the map entirely. The map is now 40% bigger.
Listen, the Dota map was large already. It was large. The League was tiny in comparison to Dota.
But yeah, so I think that's one of the more significant changes. And obviously that means that, you know, there's gameplay changes in that there's different neutral camps, there's different objectives. There are new ways to get around this big map quickly. Like I think there are portal gates or similar.
I'm just reading here. There's two gates that connect the corners of the map near safe lane towers. It lets you let players teleport instantly from one edge. That's insane. That changes movements around the map significantly.
Do you like Roshan? Your home slash Roshan? He's got two pits
now.
I love
Roshan. So what? Does he spawn in both?
I don't think he spawns in both, but there's one on each corner of the map or two corners of the map. So yeah, like there's just... So
he spawns on one of them.
There's just changes like that. There's obviously been a huge amount of balance changes to items and heroes, but I think the most significant one is that there's a new stat type, like entirely. So you've had intelligence, strength, and agility. There's a fourth type called universal, I read that, I was like, what? But what does that mean? So as Eurogamer have described it, this is a new main stat group that includes existing heroes who gain 0.6 damage from each stat of any attribute.
Wow.
There are big hero balance changes and new items to fuss over too. So I think
so universal heroes are like a jack of all trades.
I think,
type of hero.
So you'll be able to build them out in a number of ways.
That's cool.
So like just...
Do you know this UI thing? So from Eurogamer as well, it says... As for the UI, health-related info gets an upgrade with this update with health bar barriers, health bar pips, and health costs added. I don't understand what that means.
Yes, I haven't delved into that exclusively, but I know I did read briefly. So, you know, the hero Medusa, for example, she gets a shield. That'll now be indicated like as a shield on the UI.
On her health bar.
As an example, I think... I haven't delved.
So just gives you a bit more clarity as to what's going on.
So okay. I haven't delved into the nitty gritty, but I think that's what they're referring to. There are a whole lot of UI changes as well that are just meant to make the game easier to read, because I mean it is a chaotic game. Like,
so this is now the default game mode. It's not like I can play all Dota. No, this is just Dota.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, I think you're right. This is, I mean, when Dota 2 came out, it was an extensive change in terms of visual and hero balancing. But the map, the core gameplay was identical almost when it launched. They've obviously changed it since. But this is like a fundamental shift to how Dota operates.
Yeah, so, like, but there was an update way back when. It must have been like, I'm going to so I can say like 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago even, where it was significant on this level of like, oh my God, they're doing this and this. It's like, it feels like a whole new game.
I do recall that,
but it was never on this level. This feels like
this does feel like they would have called it a Dota 3, but they're not going to change. They're not going to launch a new product now. They're just going to
One other change that they made across the board is that there are stuns by default are shorter now.
Interesting.
I wonder. It's funny because I don't want to be the person to say it, but I'm going to say it's League of Legends from my experience. Like the key difference between the two is that stuns are shorter, but you can spam abilities more frequently.
Yes.
So I don't know. I don't know if I haven't read through all the hero balance changes, but I know stuns are shorter.
Those patch notes are
huge.
Insane. That page is humongous. That is a master's thesis of patch notes.
Yeah, hats off to the people who wrote it and whoever had to QA that.
Draw.
You know what?
The international is going to be fucking lit this year.
Yeah,
this is a reset across the board. Like every single pro team in the scene now has a shot to be good at this.
But if I'm not mistaken, it's such a big change. There's a big tournament. You know, one of the majors. I think in like a month or two.
Oh, good luck to
them. So I'm like, oh my God, dude, like
this is if normally. I mean, the internationals decided by meta changes to heroes and like. You know, like just what is the current meta? This is so significant. Like, you could see the big teams just not coping with this at all. That makes it exciting. I like that. I'm going to watch the international this year because I didn't last year.
We're not going to know what the hell's going on, but I'm keen.
Where is the international this year? Because last year was China, wasn't it?
I think it was China, yeah.
Last year was Shanghai. So I think this year's in Europe again, if I'm not mistaken.
It must be in Europe.
Right. I mean, we're pondering this and I can check this up right now.
Why do I feel like it's in Sweden? I'm sucking.
Oh, in like Copenhagen or something.
Mm. Did I imagine that?
That's not Sweden, is it?
No, that's Denmark.
My geography's bad.
You got it wrong.
very bad. Who's the... Have they even announced it?
Maybe they haven't announced it yet. But I think you're right. Or is it not in America this year? I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't. Location to be determined. They haven't announced it.
Sure.
That seems strange.
Well, yeah. I'm very keen to see that.
Cool. Okay, so from Dota 3. Yes, Valve's on a roll, hey? Counter-Strike 2, Dota 3, pretty much 3. And people are like, oh, Valve don't make games anymore. They just like completely re-roll two of their biggest games of all time.
Like, they don't, though.
You know, this is risk. You can't be like, oh, everyone's going to university love this, is it? Well, this is a huge risk to change a game like this.
Whoever wrote the patch notes or did, like whoever put all that collateral together, that team, the social post or the headline was something of, it basically said, this is a huge change. Things are very likely to break, but it's cool. We'll figure it out together. Like that's the sentiment
we're
of
in
like
this together.
Yeah, it's like they basically said we are taking huge gamble. Like things might not be the way you envision it or the way we envision it out the gate, but like we're gonna work on it as we go. And like that's fair, you know?
Yeah. I mean you don't release something this big and everything just works. That's not possible.
No.
So yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay.
What other news
should we race through this Nintendo Indie Showcase, which had no Silk Song? So it,
no, I mean, it was
a 0 out of 10 in my heart.
So I think I don't know if you want to go through each thing individually so much as maybe just
not really, just like a highlights thing, like things that looked cool. This Minico's Night Market looked pretty neat. It's like a sort of like resource management or like town simulator thing with a fairy tale kind of world. It looks pretty, it's got really cool visuals. I really like them. If you liked, that's out in September.
If you like my time at Porsche, get ready for my time at Sandra.
I didn't like my time at Porsche, so I was just like, eh. And they were like significant character upgrades. And I looked at the dialogue. I was like, okay, if you say so.
Played Up is a game that I've seen people stream. It's kind of like
this Overcooked. Thing looked like fucking Overcooked.
Yeah, but I think there's
like
there's,
from the start. Yeah. Holy shit!
But it's a very popular game.
I like how it turns into an like it starts off as Overcooked and it's like automate your kitchen. I was like, oh, okay, it's not Overcooked. Yeah, this is a whole.
Also, it's
thing.
A roguelite management sim.
Interesting. Okay.
So that's coming to Switch. Quilts and Cats
October
of Calico.
23.
Yeah,
this
have,
is an adaptation of an actual board game.
Okay, but yeah, we have actual Toby or Abigail, just
definitely Abigail, just stolen for this artwork. I've got my lawyers on it right now.
Unreal. Rift of the Necrodancer.
Dude, okay, this was the coolest thing at this whole thing for me because I love Crypt of the Necrodancer. I love Cadence.
Okay, so
Hyrule.
It is from those devs, right?
Yes, yeah. Okay. It's a spin-off of Crypt of the Necrodancer. It isn't just, this is according to Kotaku, isn't just a rhythm game, but also features lane-based combat, which sort of reminded me of like Guitar Hero. Each character features their own story-based minigames with a variety of different rhythmic challenges. It arrives in 2023. As soon as I saw the character, I knew this was a Necrodancer thing because that's the main character from all the Necrodancer games. So it just looks sick. I'm all in on this. Yeah.
I'm ready.
That's and cool. It just means we get more Danny Bartowski music, and he is A+. If you don't know who he is, he did Crypt of the Necrodancer, Super Meat Boy, Desktop Dungeons. He is top tier, just incredible music.
Nice.
I think he did Splunky. He didn't.
Animations, yeah, so good.
Yeah,
2020. Oh, that's this next year. This year. What year are we in? We're in 2023.
We're in 2023, definitely. This year.
Animal Well?
Yeah, not. I didn't see much of this, but Animal was a labyrinth explorer with a bold and elegant visual style.
All I know is that this is being published by Donkey.
Is this one being published by him?
This is, I think, his first big game that they're publishing. I don't know what his label's called, but yeah. I don't know. I think it's funny because I watch Donkey's videos and interviews, and I think we have very similar tastes. Like he loves the good shit. He loves Celeste, you know, games like that. So I think I'm hoping this is good. If it's got his blessing, we'll see.
Okay,
we've got a
that's only out in 2024 though.
Yeah,
so that's a while away still.
Crime O'Clock, solve crimes.
This is a map-based crime-solving adventure,
black and white world.
The concept seems a little mind-bending, according to Kotaku here. I didn't get to see this trailer, but I just want to scrub through it now.
Nice. Look at this. Wow. It's time.
Oh, it's like crime solving across different time periods, like jumping back and forth between... Okay, this immediately seems like something I would dig.
This is why it's called Crime O'Clock. You know,
I wonder if solving a crime in certain time period affects a crime in another.
Hey, well, now we're getting to Minority Report territory.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I'm into that.
We got
The game's called Tesla Grad 2 and Tesla Grad Remastered.
If this is a game I'm thinking of, because the showcase had a whole lot of developers talking before. You know, they showed the game. I think this game is made by a Nordic team and it has got a lot of Nordic culture and visuals threaded, which kind of looks like it's. That's coming out.
We've got Shadows of Loathing, which I guess is a spiritual successor to. What's that other game called? It's Something of Loathing as well.
This looks really good.
Streets of Loathing, maybe? I don't know.
It's
slapstick RPG that is stick figure.
Yeah, it's a black and white stick figure RPG, and it looks amazing. I'd play that. Blasphemous.
Shadows of Loathing. I might be confusing it with something else. What the hell? Oh, West of Loathing. That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
You got a Blasphemous 2, which I do not know what this is. But
I never played Blasphemous, but it was always pitched as like a 2D Dark Souls ish sort of thing.
Reminds me of. Castlevania.
But yeah, it looks good. Visually looks pretty great. Oxenfree 2, this has been
coming for a while.
In the works for quite some time, yeah. Said 5 years after the first game. It's going to be on Switch in July 12th. That was the big news, was the release date. But it's also going to be on Netflix games because Netflix owns the studio now. So
nice. Did you play Oxenfree 1?
I haven't. I've got it on Switch. I just haven't gone around to it yet. Apparently it's very good.
Yeah. Real good. And then...
a little to the left.
Cup boards and drawers. DLC.
My God.
Shovel Knight Pocket Dungeon Puzzlers Pack DLC.
Cool.
I missed this announcement. What is this? It's just more
Shovel Knight. So it's an expansion for Shovel Knight Pocket Dungeon. Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
They've got a lot of Shovel Knight spin-off stuff going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
Cult of the Lambs getting free DLC.
Yep.
It's out now. Relics of the Old Faith.
Nice.
Apparently it does like a rework to some of the game's combat, some of the bosses.
There's a
permadeath mode, a boss rush mode, more challenges. So like if you bounced off Cult of the Lamb and want to get back into it, now seems like a good time.
Now is the time. Paper Trail. Cool.
Yeah.
Beautiful watercolor.
And Little Kitty, anything? Big Kitty. Oh, Little Kitty, Big City. Sorry.
Nice. It's a tongue twister.
That's cool.
Features cats will play.
Chance of Sinar. This almost looks like Sable.
Yeah, very similar art style. Brotato.
This has been out on PC for a while, hasn't it? I think it's like a roguelike shooter, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah,
this looks
awesome.
It's
been on PC for a long, long time.
It's like Vampire Survivors with guns.
Sort of.
And potatoes.
Yeah. And you're a potato.
Yeah.
Escape Academy Complete Edition. Escape Academy has been out for some time, since last year. It's like, you know, like an escape room sort of simulator thing.
Yep.
Complete Edition coming to Switch later this fall.
Nice.
Five Nights at Freddy's Security Breach. I feel like this game's been dead for fucking ever. Like,
yeah. Which is weird because
it's out on Switch that day. Never mind. Okay. So it is out.
Here we go. Bomb Rush Cyberpunk?
Bomb Rush Cyberpunk. Let's fucking go. I am so keen for this game. This is a spiritual successor to Jet Set Radio or Jet Set Radio Future. Since Sega's now making a new one, but when this was announced, there was no indication that that would ever be happening ever again.
So is this made by people who worked on Jet Set Radio?
I think so. It's even got the original composer back.
Because it looks like Jet Set Radio.
It looks exactly like Jet Set Radio, for better or worse. Like, I really hope the gameplay is a bit more expanded than... Because playing Jet Set Radio now in, 2023, there's not a lot of meat onto this gameplay. You know what I mean? I hope it's a bit more expanded. It looks the part. It sounds the part. It's got good audio, good music.
Yeah.
It's out on August 18th, so that's great. Yeah.
Nice.
Neat tidbit. The composer for Jet Set Radio went on to compose all the Persona games.
What a shocker
that I love them. All of them.
What a dude. Cool. Should we fly through the last pieces of news? Because we've spent a fair bit of time on that stuff.
Should we touch on Humanity getting an announcement?
You can tell me about this. This is...
Humanity is a new game from Good Good Designer. Oh, good. Where's his name now? I know his last name, Mizuguchi, but Tetsuya Mizuguchi.
Your face is gone. It's back.
The designer of, the studio lead of games like Rez, Infinite, and Tetris Effect. Makes good games.
Yeah.
This is the latest from
his
studio Enhance.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like a Lemmings game. You control like a glowing Shiba Inu and you are lemmingsing loads and loads of people in these like surreal environments.
Oh my God. These lemmings are getting fucking destroyed. Sick.
They're getting annihilated. It looks great.
Amazing.
Yeah. I'm keen, super, super keen for this just because I enjoyed Rez and I loved Tetris Effect. So I'm in on anything that Enhance makes. So yeah.
Nice.
That's out on May 16th. So soon. It is on the higher tiers of PS Plus as well.
Nice.
If you're subscribed to those. So yeah.
Cool.
Halo quickly.
Halo, cool.
Netflix has hired Joseph Staten. So if you're not familiar, Joseph Staten, a long time mainstay at Microsoft, and at Bungie when they were a Microsoft brand and 343. He was the guy that when Halo was delayed for a year, that Microsoft said, cool, you go to 343 and get this thing out the fucking door.
Okay.
He was like the closer, and he managed to do that.
That's so funny.
So he's been...
Sounds like a
he's
mob,
the co-creator of the Halo and Destiny franchises. Like, this dude knows so his shit. Yeah. So he announced that he was departing from Microsoft a while back. Well, a few weeks ago, but he's now confirmed that he is starting a job at Netflix to work on a brand new IP and some bigger games that they have.
Will it be a shooter set in space? Only time will tell.
Who knows? With big hulking guys and space guns and aliens. Who knows?
Never know.
But that's a big get for Netflix. They are getting very serious about this stuff.
And gaming stuff,
a brand new AAA multi-platform game. Looks like Netflix is getting serious beyond phone games. So.
Yeah. Let's see.
Yeah, that's good for him, you know.
And speaking of phone games, you like Monster Hunter?
Yes.
Well, do you like Pokemon Go?
I used to.
Used to. Well, the you know, the people who made a Pokemon Go, Niantic, are making a Monster Hunter game for mobile devices. What is it called?
Monster Hunter Now. Like, not Monster Hunter yesterday, great. Monster Hunter right now.
The South African version is Monster Hunter Now.
Exactly.
You know? which, this is, this from what I've seen in the trailer is just, it's, so Monster Hunter as a game on the go makes sense to me. Like the formula of, you know, you fight a monster, you get parts, you build better gear to fight bigger monsters, rinse and repeat forever. That formula can 100% work as a mobile game. How it looks as Monster Hunter, though, which is all about, you know, how you get those parts. You know, you actually have to fight these monsters and roll and, you know, do a whole lot of stuff. I don't know how that translates to mobile.
I think there's some interesting tidbits here from this Polygon piece. So it seems that the maximum battle time is just 75 seconds to be suitable for outdoor play, apparently.
That is so crazy.
The distinctive gameplay altering weapon classes remain, but players should expect to be switching between them more frequently. You also have a paintball mechanic, which lets you mark monsters when you're out and about so that you can fight them when you get home. And alternatively, your Palico can automatically tag monsters when the app is closed.
Sorry,
so
that just sounds so funny. Just like in the real world, you paintball a monster. So
yeah,
you can fight
you tag
them
to
get home.
Yes, exactly. Not to track them, but yeah.
Nice.
That sounds all cool. I mean,
I know, if I lost you.
We were just talking about this, but like Niantic has developed a lot of games similar to...
We've got some technical difficulties.
Oh, no. Can you not hear
me? Alessandro really likes this game. He's smiling. He's ready.
That's so weird. I can hear you.
We're just going to keep him frozen there.
Oh, this is peculiar.
Well, this is awkward. What was the time? Did he get hit by load shedding or something?
No.
No? He's just chilling. Just chilling. Oh my God, you back.
Oh, okay. That was super strange because I could hear you and see you the entire time.
Oh, but you were just gone.
Hilarious. So I'm like busy talking. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm not cutting any of that out. That's fine.
No, it's perfect.
I just carried on talking because that was super strange.
We were talking over each other, maybe. I don't know, but you could hear me.
I hope not. No, I could hear you, so I just stopped. Yeah.
You were very excited about this news, let me tell you.
I'm so excited that Discord decided to just shit the bed again. It's happening more and more frequently. This is a bit of a problem.
It's weird.
Anyways. So Niantic's done a lot of these games already, like... they did the Harry Potter one, which actually didn't work. They shut that down. And they've done a Nintendo one, Pikmin Bloom, which is still going, if I'm not mistaken. There was a Minecraft one as well, but that wasn't Niantic. That was like Microsoft trying
to
do that.
But hold on. Is the Pikmin mobile game out?
Yeah, it's out.
What? Is it any good?
I don't know. I've never tried it.
Okay.
I think the novelty of Pokemon Go is worn off. Like people still play. Like there are still loads and Pokemon Go is still like massively
huge.
Popular. But like the fervor of every single person you know playing Pokemon Go, that's
Yeah.
Like, even when they released a Harry Potter one, that didn't happen. So, yeah. So, yeah, luck to Monster Hunter.
I'll try it out. Yeah. I don't know how Monster Hunter gameplay translates to mobile. We'll see. And then last piece of news. Square Enix triples down on blockchain with new deal, even as other publishers flee.
Square Enix is really, really going in on this. It seems like the industry has mostly moved away from this after the NFT market somewhat crashed, and it's still there. There's still Web3 games happening, but the sort of interest from developers or at least from publishers, or at least their willingness to mention it in shareholder briefings, you know, where shareholders would be like, oh, if you mention NFTs, the share price is going to go up because everyone's in on this shit now. Like, that's kind of like died down. So,
yeah.
Good luck to Square Enix.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting topic. We'll see how it goes for them.
Square Enix refuses to release games on Xbox because they think it's bad for business, but will delve into Web3 and NFT games.
Nice. Cool. But on that note, I think that is all the gaming news for this week. Shall we?
That means we're bouncing along to questions. If you want to send us questions, you can email us checkpointchatpodcast@gmail.com. Or you can find us on all of our social platforms at Checkpoint Chat.
All of the platforms we have.
What we got down today?
A question on Twitter from good guy at Jared Brapra. He asks, he writes, "Hey guys, hope y'all have a good weekend. Thank you.
Thank you.
Piece of gaming vaporware would you actually like to see come true? Like a Switch Pro, perhaps? So is vaporware something that's like rumored, but not...
I think that just kind of never... It could be something that was like announced and never made it to market.
Mm.
Like, it just like... It's the same with like software vaporware, which is a lot more common. You know, a lot of games get announced and they just never end up happening.
Hardware vaporware
is a bit of a tricky one, because a lot of the times you won't hear about the hardware before it's like cancelled internally.
Yeah. I mean, I'll come out and say that we know Sony's working on a handheld. Well, it's supposedly working on a handheld something. Is it going to just be a streaming thing? Because if so,
that's the indication right now.
Yawn, count me out. If it's anything like the Vita 2, though, count me in. It won't be.
The current indication makes it seem boring.
But
very, very boring.
The Vita, I have such a soft spot for the Vita, because, I mean, when that came out, that was incredible. It's like, wow, PS3 graphics in my hand, or PS3-esque graphics in my hand. Can you imagine a modern day... Like, I love my Switch, don't get me wrong. But the Switch is now 6 years old and underpowered. And the Steam Deck, I don't own one. Cool. Steam Deck, I think is very cool, but also, like, it's... You know, not underpowered, but it's limited. PlayStation, when they came out of the Vita, it's like, oh my god, this thing's got so much power. I don't know. I'd love to see a modern day the PS5 portable. Let's go. It'll never happen.
I'd like that. Mm. I'd like that. From my end, it would be a similar thing, just on the other end of the fence. I almost certain back in like late 2000s, early 2010s, there were a lot of indications that Microsoft was going to make a handheld. You know, it was like, I think it was during the PSP time, actually, not the Vita time, because it was after when the Vita launched. I think that's when Microsoft was like, okay, we're not doing that. That's super not going to work.
Yeah.
But I remember in early 360 days, there was always this indication, always this idea that Microsoft was going to work on an what was it called? X-Boy or something? It was so dumb.
I love it.
So I would have loved to have seen what that would have ended up being, because at the time Microsoft was like dominating the industry with the 360. And I feel like they could have maybe got something to work to take on the PSP. But at the same time, I think Microsoft's been very clever in avoiding chasing these things when they know that Their goal right now is to be the number one home console maker, and they can't do that if they're splitting their focus everywhere. Like, That's why Microsoft never got into VR. I'm almost certain. Mm. Like, they were just like, we're not going to. Yeah.
Even in the handheld space, they don't really need to with the cloud gaming. If you've got a
device,
a tablet, laptop, you sort it. But like, again, that still relies on internet capabilities. I'd love to see a portable Game Pass machine. I can imagine.
But that's why I'm like, you see, so I don't think that will ever happen because that requires like R&D and actual hardware design.
Yeah.
And like for them, it's just easy to be like, oh, Logitech, like they've done already. Mm. You've got a cloud gaming device. We will license our stuff to you or allow you to call it the officially licensed like X Cloud player or whatever the fuck.
But I mean,
and it costs them nothing, no risk. It's there, done. Like,
well, here's the vaporware wish then, because there was a news. It probably was the week we were off, but there was an internal, was it a Microsoft something where a team had Game Pass like on the Steam Deck? That's what I'm getting at.
So that was that hackathon. So yeah. they basically, so what they had done, so you can get Game Pass on Steam Deck now. Mm. It's,
but I want not, like an authorized Microsoft
I mean, this is authorized. It is like you can load Windows on the Steam Deck and you can then load Game Pass and that works. The problem is like Windows just doesn't run super well on the Steam Deck and there's no interface that makes it easy to do. The hackathon was creating an interface for that.
Give me that.
So, but that was an internal Microsoft project. It wasn't even like sanctioned by Microsoft. Mm. So I don't know. I would like that. I would love if I had to talk about like just software that I would like on like a Steam Deck is just like dual boot mode. So I can dual boot into Windows and Steam OS.
Because
right now you can only have one or the other and that's shit. Yeah. So
Hate to see it. Well, there we go. Jared, tell us your vaporware wish.
What is that Amico they keep trying to release that is not happening? Yeah. They're trying to release like a new version of the Amico console and it just seems like the biggest scam on earth.
My goodness.
Good luck to them.
We received an email from Malesh bright and early our time this morning, at 7:45 this morning, just before we started recording. Mm. Hey guys, follow up on last time you checked my pile of shame. I realized that there was one game missing from that and that's what I ended up starting and finishing. It was an indie title that was on my radar anyway, but got me a little more curious when a certain podcast unanimously voted it their game of the year for 2021. I've been traveling over Easter, so using my Switch more and Chicory was just perfect. Playing on the plane was really funny. I kept getting peeks at my screen, especially during the boss fights. It wouldn't have been my 2021 game of the year, but it certainly would have been considered. Excellent game. Thanks for the recommendation.
Sure. Love to see the Chicory agenda.
My goodness, the Chicory agenda being pushed by this podcast finally taking hold.
Love to see it. Yeah, that's cool, man. I'm glad. I'm really, really glad you enjoyed it. That's awesome.
Game on Switch, perfect.
Absolutely. I played it on PC, and I would have loved to have played it on a portable platform. Yeah,
I love the game. I think of it, and I just get warm, fuzzy feelings. It's a good time.
Now you can enjoy just listening to that soundtrack over and over again. Good old Lena Raine. What a soundtrack. Yeah.
What a banger.
I remember like learning of that project purely because of
Lena Raine's involvement.
Yeah, she was like, I'm working on a new project. It's on Kickstarter. It's on this. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. I'll keep an eye on this. Celestia's fucking great. Yeah. And like it took like 3 years after the fact to kind of like come out. And lo and behold, what a banger of a game.
Just so good. Absolutely.
Top to bottom. Top to bottom.
Yeah. Cool. That's all the questions.
Yeah. Is that it? Thank you so much to everyone who sent in questions. And if you want to send in your questions, if you want to tell us about a game that has tickled you lately or some hardware that you would like to see come to pass one day, you can also email us at checkpointchatpodcast@gmail.com. Nice. Or find us on all of our social platforms at Checkpoint Chat. But that is episode, what is this? 221. Wow, that was back in the past. 221 of Checkpoint Chat. As always, thank you so much for your support and thank you so much for listening. We hope you have a delightful week ahead. And we will be back next week with, so much happening. Yeah.
So much stuff. So, cool.
Look forward to that. Enjoy it. See you next time. Peace out. Okay, bye.